might not be flying anywhere if it's Air Canada that you've booked with. Good morning, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on a Wednesday morning. Strike notice has been given by the Air Canada Flight Attendants Union. There's been a similar lockout notice been given by Air Canada, but this means we will likely see canceled flights, a stoppage as of Saturday. Our newsroom continues to follow this along, and we will keep you posted as things continue to unfold there. We've got a full show today. Lots of different things to talk about. Oil, gas, nuclear, LNG. Energy is in the news a lot from a lot of different angles. Are we building the infrastructure we need? The nation-building projects, does it include a pipeline? Are we loosening the regulations that have been handcuffing the industry over the last number of years? We've got Brian Zinchuk from pipelineonline.ca joining us for his monthly check-in coming up at 10 o'clock today. The Jeux Canada Games in Newfoundland, so many people have family members that are there. Maybe they're competing as one of the athletes, a coach, but they're facing a little bit of adversity, and it's not in the sport aspect of things. The weather, first of all, wildfires continue to threaten St. John's, and there is evacuation notices that are happening to communities around there. And now with this Air Canada flight attendant strike, there's going to be flight cancellations. We're going to check in with Team SASK leader who is out there with hundreds of athletes and coaches for an update later in the show. We had to postpone this because of Scott Moe's live news conference yesterday, but the Delisle Sports Dinner, which is happening on Friday, has some great NHL stars speaking at it, and they will be joining me on the show today. Kevin Kaminsky, Matthew Barnaby here just before lunch. Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener, open lines. We got a lot going on, so let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, yesterday we carried it live for you right at the end of the show. Premier Scott Moe held a news conference, quite aggressive, asking for the federal government to step in, and called action on a couple of different points. Number one, let's get a trade deal, something worked out with China, whether that's ditching these EV tariffs that Canada threw on last year, which of course precipitated everything we've seen with the canola tariffs. Whatever it looks like, let's get a deal done. And in the meantime, let's support the industry the same way you have with the other industries that have been impacted by tariffs. It feels like usual that some of the Western Canadian industries don't get the same love as what we see for things like the auto industry, for example, or steel and aluminum. Here to talk a little bit more about this, the perfect guest, Sean Haney, is the founder and CEO of realagriculture.com. Of course, you can catch Sean's show on the weekend, Real Ag on the weekend, Saturdays at 4, Sundays at 1 on this radio station. The host of that show, Sean Haney, joins me by phone this morning. Sean, thanks for being here.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks so much.
So, initial reaction, the 75.8% anti-dumping tariff on Canadian canola. Thoughts?
Yeah, so, you know, I heard the Canadian Canola Growers Association CEO Rick White yesterday say in an interview, expected. Unfortunate, but expected. We kind of thought this was coming. This investigation by China has been going on for a year. Basically, they're claiming that Canada is unfairly subsidizing, supporting, encouraging increased supply of Canadian canola that is really hurting the domestic rapeseed industry in China. Now, we can all smirk about that, but that's what they're claiming. Now, let's be honest. This is all related back to those EV tariffs that Canada applied to China in a very strong factor, by the way, like 100%. We saw going back to last fall, a tariff on meal and oil coming out of Canada as well. So this is just an escalation, essentially, for China and Canada relations.
So let's talk about the 100% tariffs that hit in March. You just mentioned oil, meal. Compare for us, if you will, the magnitude of now what we're seeing, nearly 76% on canola seed. How does that compare to what we've already been living with in the last few months?
Well, I think the statement, if you look at the totality, is China saying for the meantime, we really don't need Canadian canola in the form of seed, oil, or meal. And, you know, Chris Davidson, who is the CEO of the Canola Council of Canada, said to Real Agriculture yesterday that, you know, this essentially shuts Canadian canola out of the China market. And that is a reality, but China's doing the same thing on U.S. soybeans, just a little bit differently. China's importation of American soybeans is down 50% in the first 6 months of the year compared to the same period in 2024. It's been down in July as well. And so in that case, they just said no to buying. In this case with Canada, they're applying tariffs. It's essentially the same result. And they look to be pulling their oil seed requirements out of South America. Mm-hmm. And that's a big issue for not only canola growers in Saskatchewan, but if you're growing soybeans in North Dakota as well. And so this is kind of where we are at currently at this point, which is a real concern. We saw what happened with the canola futures yesterday. You know, major price declines already on top of the fact that, you know, the U.S. corn crop is massive as reported by USDA. So there's a lot of pressure right now on these commodity prices here as we head into the new crop year.
Sean Haney is my guest, founder, CEO of RealAgriculture.com. So I was just going to ask now, what is the actual impact on the farmer who's got fields in front of him ready to harvest canola crops, ready to go? What are the impacts? What are the possible scenarios to play out here?
More reliance on the U.S. market is probably the main thing. And when we've seen, you know, pretty dramatic increase of canola exports to the U.S. in the past couple of years. And the reason for the and there's a made in Saskatchewan story related to that, and that's all to do with biofuels and things like renewable diesel and sustainable aviation fuel. We're seeing, you know, that kind of infrastructure being built in Regina as we speak. And so this is a reminder that, you know, the move and the policy to encourage renewable diesel and SAF is really a diversification strategy away from being reliant on the Chinese market. Mm. Because we're crushing canola domestically in Canada, or, you know, we're participating in the U.S. renewable diesel industry as well. Of course, we've got some trade issues with the U.S. we're trying to work out. But, you know, the biofuel policy in the U.S. has been very North American oriented here in the past 6 months, which is encouraging. There needs to be some improvements, but it has gone more positive as of late. So that is the real impact, probably more reliance in the short term to the U.S. market.
And even maybe a little more ground level than that, Sean, I mean, they have the option to sell at a reduced price. We saw a depression in the prices of canola instantly yesterday after the announcement. Yeah. Or wait to sell, but then for many farmers, storage becomes an issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a marketing decision that producers are faced with all the time. You know, I don't know the percentage of canola that is actually sold directly off the combine. Every producer is going to be handling that a little bit differently. For the producers that, you know, maybe did some hedging earlier before this, and just because the market is risky in general, they're probably feeling a little bit better about themselves. But that's not everybody, because there is some carryover from the 2021 drought where people had booked contracts. And then, they didn't meet some of those targets because the yields were so terrible. So a lot of people wait for harvest before they start to do some of that pricing. It is going to put some pressure on storage. It also is a test of the strength of the balance sheet and your ability to hold on. It's not just about storage. It's you may have to pay some bills. Mm-hmm. And so then you're forced into a sales situation to create some cash flow. So every farm is going to be different on that front, but those are some of the things that are definitely being discussed in some of the tractors here today.
Sean Haney is my guest. Just one more question on this topic. Sean, yesterday we saw Premier Scott Moe come out very strong, demanding, I would suggest, the federal government for action, not only on striking a deal with China, whether it's dropping the EV tariffs or striking some sort of a trade deal, but also putting together a package like they have done for other industries affected by tariffs for agriculture. Do we expect to see something like that roll out in the next week?
Well, I don't mean to be pessimistic, but I'm doubtful. And there's a couple reasons for that. The EV tariffs are, you know, that wasn't just something the Canadian government dreamt up to protect the Canadian auto industry, although that may be one of the results of it. This came from the Biden administration working in tandem with the U.S. to try to keep Chinese EVs out of the North American market. And that sentiment has not changed during the Trump administration, if people have been paying attention to the mainstream news. So removing those EV tariffs is a complicated decision for Canada. Will there be compensation to producers? I'm kind of doubtful, because if you look at when in March, when those 100% tariffs were put on meal and canola oil, there was a lot of call for compensation, and the market dipped. And then shortly thereafter, it was higher than the price on that Friday of the announcement. So I think you're going to see some patience. It's not going to be an immediate thing. If there is compensation, it'll be months down the road. It will not be in the immediate term, because I think they're going to let the ground settle. And we have a meeting between President Xi and President Trump coming up here in the fall. We know that at some point we're going to see Prime Minister Carney sitting down with President Xi of China as well. So I think they're going to be a little bit patient on providing compensation.
Agri-stability, I'm hearing from so many farmers who listen, call in, text into the show. Agri-stability adjustments, not enough. That where they were critical of that this spring, and I would suggest this needs to be outside of that benefit.
Yeah, so the cap was increased in the July FPT virtual meeting. The timing here, you know, one of the positives, I guess, maybe, is that there is a planned in-person FPT agricultural meeting here in early September. So this will definitely be on the docket. We'll see if they make further adjustments to the 2025 agri-stability program. And they'll also be talking about, you know, do changes need to be made for 26? They'll probably start with making adjustments on agri-stability. Whether they go ad hoc or not, in terms of some other program, that will be yet to be determined.
Just a couple of other quick things, Sean, while I've got you. We've only got a few minutes left here. But, of course, we're getting close to the by-election in Alberta. Pierre Poilievre running on Monday. We will find out the results of that. As the people that are running in that election are knocking on doors, talking with people in that riding, they're hearing a lot about the right to repair movement, which has been big in agriculture. Have you been following this?
Yeah, right to repair is a real sore spot for a lot of farmers. And, you know, I think we a lot of times think about this as an agricultural issue, like, can I fix my tractor or do I have to take it to a dealer? It's a mainstream issue, too. Like, you know, the example that's often given is like McDonald's ice cream machines. You know, they fight right to repair, their ability to fix those machines that are in the stores. So this is a big issue for, you know, as we see more electrification and more digitization of what's going on in that tractor or combine, it becomes less likely that farms have the skills to try to deal with some issues. And so this is a real constant battle that farmers are pushing for, the ability to do some of this maintenance that they can do, because every time you take it to the dealer, it costs you money. Right. And so that's where a lot of this comes down to money and farmers' ability to work on the tractor that they own.
Well, we'll follow that closely. Finally, I've got a lot of friends that are sending me pictures. They're at the grocery store, the pickle aisle. None of the Bix jars are on the shelves. It seems as if they've been bought out. This is just another example of the effect of counter tariffs. Have you got other examples in the ag business, either directly or downstream effects from Canada's reciprocal tariffs?
You know, not specifically on products, but as I talk to a lot of manufacturers, this is a major concern. And I saw a lot of people saying, well, you know what? Good. Keep those pickles off the shelf. We want, you know, Canadian made, because, you know, 11% of the pickles that are in those jars are Canadian. And the lids are actually made in Canada as well on those jars.
Right.
So Bix pulling out of the Canadian market, It hurts Canadian businesses. So I'm not sure why people are running around celebrating as much. And again, in the case of boycotts where we're, you know, trying to find Canadian made versus US made, it's incredibly difficult when you have such an integrated supply chain that we have between Canada, Mexico, and the US. And it's another reminder, Prime Minister Carney needs to sort out the trade deal with the U.S. as quickly as possible, in my opinion, to avoid these situations so consumers have choice.
We're going to leave it there. Always appreciate you coming on to the show. Sean, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, appreciate it, everybody. All the farmers out there, stay safe during harvest.
Thanks again to Sean Haney from realagriculture.com. Always appreciate his perspective on ag issues. And this canola tariff issue that was announced yesterday is definitely one that's in the forefront. Premier Scott Moe asking for urgent and immediate action from Ottawa. Will we get it? What will it look like? You and I will talk a little bit about that. Phone lines open, text lines open for you for the next hour when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.